We're going to be talking about personal finance from a doctor, Dr. Chris Hawkins. He has a what do they call that? A doctorate degree. That's what they call it. See, I'm getting smarter on the show. And Chris Hawkins joins us right now. Where did you get such a passion for growing long beards, brother?
I got tired of shaving. How about that for a nice little simple answer?
Yeah, I think the Duck Dynasty guys borrowed the beard idea from you. But we are here with Dr. Chris Hawkins, and you are known as Dr. Thrift. Dr. Thrift. And it's kind of a cool name, but how did you decide on that brand?
I developed a passion for teaching personal finance as a teacher in high school. And for about the last 7 years, I've been teaching high school students how to live debt-free, how to save, how to invest. And I got to thinking, it would sure be nice to have my own brand to teach everyone around the world how to live a thrifty lifestyle. And having a doctorate degree, being passionate about thrift, put the two together, you've got the Dr. Thrift brand.
All right. Well, Dr. Thrift, you're here. I just have to ask, is part of the brand that I meet a girl who buys into the thrift philosophy?
Most people fail to understand what thrift really means. We have the idea that thrift is thrift stores, buying used items, being frugal. And it just shows how far our society has gotten away from the true understanding of thrift, which by definition really means to thrive. So if that young lady were to really understand that you're about thriving in life, then I don't think she'd have no problem with it.
Aww. So part of, you know, one of the things we didn't learn, Heather, I didn't learn in school at all. We never talked about balancing a checkbook or using credit cards at all. So I think it's amazing that you've been able to teach this in the schools. But when you talk to us adults, where do you start?
I think we have to realize that we have been taught as a society for about the last 50, 60 years that consumerism is what is important, that going out, being a good consumer, spending your money is what's great for the economy. Unfortunately, though, that same idea sometimes creates people who don't have money, who are living paycheck to paycheck. So I think it's just time in society that we rethink what we've been taught and that the idea of consumerism maybe isn't quite the way to live a financially literate lifestyle.
So how do you recalibrate the adult brain to start thinking in that way if they're not really programmed to do that right now?
I think with adults, it's tough.
Right.
It's real tough. You have to start with the younger generations, get them to understand a different philosophy. And over several generations, you keep working at that.
Right.
Eventually, you'll have a society that is more thrifty in terms of their beliefs, that understands that consumerism isn't all it's cracked up to be. But in terms of today's adults, it's like anything else. You have to get them when they, for lack of a better term, are more vulnerable.
Right.
And they're at the point where they're living paycheck to paycheck. At that point, they get that they need a change.
Yeah.
And to some degree, that was my life. And I'm so thankful now that I've learned what I've learned and hopefully can teach it to others.
So one of the things that you have to teach me is the difference between need and want.
Because sometimes they are so close.
It's interesting. There was a book written in the late 80s, I believe. And the title of the book is failing my memory right now, but in there, one of the studies that she did was, what is a need versus a want? And most of us think that a second television in the house is a need. Having a microwave is a need.
Oh, that is a need,
right,
brother. I need my pop-up popcorn.
You know, a second car in the household is a need. And I think we've gotten so far away from really what are wants and what are needs. And to some degree, it's what marketing has done to convince us that we need something. Otherwise, if you're selling a product and you can't convince the consumer that they need it,
right,
they're not going to buy it.
Do you find that since you work with the high schoolers, correct, that it has a little bit to do with the way they were raised? You know, if their parents have a lot of money and spend a lot of money, or if they don't, or they don't come from that sort of thing, does that sort of determine how their mindset is already?
I am fortunate that I teach at a pretty affluent high school.
Right.
What's interesting is you have a nice little divide. About half the students think that, well, I'm going to do the same things my parents did. I'm going to go out, I'm going to get a college degree, and immediately I'm going to go out making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to afford the same lifestyle that my parents enjoy. The other half actually have parents who got to the point where they're at because they've done the right things, they live debt-free, they save, they invest, and they've taught that to their children. So it's interesting to see, even in an affluent school, the nice little divide.
Right. So this is something you can teach to your children regardless of how much money you do or don't have.
Absolutely. And I see it every day with some of our parents who tell me that they like what I'm teaching, that they teach their kids the same things, and that they're just thankful that we have it in the school.
There's a local pastor here, Andy Stanley, which he's got the second largest church in America. He gave a sermon a couple of weeks ago called Breathing Room. And that's where you, the state of mind where you have your, what you're earning, and then the breathing room between what you spend. And tell us how that works on our stress when we're not paycheck to paycheck and we have that breathing room.
Well, I used to be a paycheck to paycheck person, my wife and I, and we drew a line in the sand one day.
Who, you or her?
More me, I guess. I'm very fortunate to have a wife who bought into the idea, and we were facing quite a bit of debt, both from personal level and a business that had failed. And we decided that we were going to attack that debt, that we came up with a game plan, we executed the game plan, and in about 3 years, we were able to pay off close to $100,000 worth of debt. And I can't tell you
how much are they paying school teachers?
Well, I'm fortunate to have a wife that works as well.
That's an entirely different subject.
Yes. But paying off that debt, it changed our whole perspective. It's amazing how much extra money you have left over every month when you're not paying it to bill collectors. And we're able to do some pretty cool things. And
that's the breathing room,
that's
right?
The breathing
so you're
room.
Not stressed about losing your job and what happens and all this worry that you have in your life. And you can actually give some money to the Salvation Army and you can start living a little bit nicer. So it's a nice way to live those of us that aren't there yet.
It is absolutely the best way to live. I would suggest it to anyone that you take a look at where you are in life, come up with a game plan, attack whatever your financial problems are, embrace the fact that you have them, run with them, fix them, and I think you'll see a much, much better lifestyle. It's not a new concept.
No.
We've heard the term live below our means for forever, and that's basically what you're saying. Live below your means. Live, you know, expenses are much less than your income, and you'll be amazed at how much less stress that you have and how much easier it is to walk through life with a smile on your face when you don't have debt and expenses, you know, lingering over you.
Right. So let me ask a question. For those of us, let's just say, not single people, they have to worry about themselves and their expenses, that sort of thing. What if you are in a relationship or even, you know, with your children, and one person understands this is how much money we have, this is much how much money we can spend, but the other person just doesn't get it? And I see this a lot with husbands and wives, and I've heard it. The husband might make all the money, and the wife is like, well, I don't understand much, and you just have a disconnect. What's something that you could advise us on how to bring another person to that understanding?
I think communication is the key. It's absolutely essential that both parties communicate on a regular basis, at least once a month. I do it every couple of weeks because I get paid twice a month. My wife gets paid every 2 weeks.
Good. So you revisit this thing over and over.
We budget. We actually budget every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And it allows us to say, here's how much money we have for every category. And that communication has been very important.
So what you're saying, it's like marriage. It's a conversation that never ends. It goes on forever and ever.
And usually,
which is good.
We know which side wins, but
right.
it's been good. Has it always been perfect? No.
Right.
Is it ever going to be perfect? No. But I think it's better than the alternative. Like you were saying, when one person says, well, why can't I spend money? They don't understand, well, we make X amount, but where does it go?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing with kids. Kids are, you know, why can't we go out and do this? Why can't we go out and do that? We always throw the term, kids think money grows on trees.
Yes.
But we have to educate them as well on where does our money go? And that's part of what I do as a high school teacher is I make my students do a budget with their parents using their parents' income and expenses. And I can't tell you how many parents tell me that was been a wonderful experience because their child now understands the value of money and how it doesn't go as far as they think it does.
At what age do you think that that starts? When is what's the soonest you want to start teaching your children about it?
I think when they get in high school, definitely by their junior year. In our class is a junior or senior elective. We actually are going to make it a graduation requirement starting with last year's freshmen. But I think they have to start learning. They have to start seeing it. And I think high school at
– they start to grasp all of these concepts.
Yeah, they, you know, they're questioning life. They're questioning what they want to be. You know, they question a lot of things at that point. And that's so much of what education should be, is kids being inquisitive, not just being told everything they need to know.
Exactly.
We are here with Dr. Thrift, the main man himself. Chris Hawkins is joining us. My special co-host, Heather Means, who asked the best poignant questions. We need more from you, less of me. But we are in the holiday season here, Chris. And how in the planet of Earth do we budget for the holidays so when January comes around, yes, we're not like, oh, man.
That's a good one.
Too many people find themselves enjoying the holiday season only to find when the bills come in January and February, they've kind of got the opposite reaction. Oh, man, now I've got to deal with the aftermath of what I've done. So, Con, just like you said, a budget's a great place to start. You have to determine how much money do I have to spend this holiday season. And then you have to make it a goal not to go over it. And if you need additional money, sell some stuff.
Right.
eBay.
Craigslist. Yep. Great places to go to sell things. Find some extra work. There's always ways to make some extra money somewhere. But you've got to identify how much is it that I have to spend, and then that has to be it. And that means some people may not get the gift that they want. Some people may not get a gift at all. But I think if you explain it to them, they'll understand. If you tell them, I want to have a different mentality come January and February where I'm still enjoying the holiday season, not regretting it.
Wow. We want to thank you for your time, Chris Hawkins, joining us, Dr. Thrift. We will have him on again, and we'll take your questions on the phone. Want to thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your passion for the subject matter. It's very clear. Any last words?
I would just say, think about thrift as something different than what you think it is. Thrift is about being industrious, meaning hardworking. It's about being frugal, watching what you spend. And most importantly, it's about being content, being happy with what you have. And if you do all three of those things, as well as being a faithful steward, I think your life will thrive and you will find that peace that many people don't have in their financial lives.
Well, thank you, Dr. Smith. It's great having you with us.